greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
You know, this is our first show and our new hours, our new time slot. John Williams will be coming in this afternoon from 1 to 3.
Right.
And here we are, Eric.
You're not worried, are you? Eric's here. Hi, Eric. Nice to see you. Welcome aboard.
I'm here.
Thanks for coming.
No problem.
I was Wendy's trying to guilt you. You know, but what? I know you. You can't be guilted.
I was printing out some stuff for this episode. I was rehearsing for this.
Did you rehearse for today's episode?
Yeah, I always rehearse.
It's very, very nice.
For hours I'm in rehearsal.
I know one of the things you wanted to discuss was there have been some strange quotes, political quotes of late.
I have a whole bunch of them here. Stuff Republicans say. This is just an amazing list.
Do you need to catch your breath?
No, I'm fine. I came down the stairs. If I'd come up the stairs, I'd be panting. Joe Walsh, the former Republican congressman, now is a show on a competing
station.
Seems
to be pretty level-headed, doesn't he?
He said the other day, I'll just say it, Sandy Hook parents, your 15 minutes is up.
Oh, what? No. Did he really?
He did.
What
Where
prompted
did he
that?
Say this?
The prompted was that they had resurrected, they're trying to resurrect their lawsuit against Remington, against a gun manufacturer. Your 15 minutes are up, Joe Walsh.
Yeah, stop trying to steal the spotlight.
Also from the Republican delegation, Illinois Rep. John Shimkus, he's actually in office now. He's complaining about, what about men having to purchase prenatal care? Is that correct? Should they have to purchase prenatal care? This is part of the...
I saw this quotation.
Yeah, Neil Steinberg did a really good column about it. He basically said, you know, well, why should I be forced to pay for a highway if I don't drive, or a library if I don't read books, or an army if I'm a pacifist?
Yeah.
And, of course, the answer to that is that we're all in this together. And every male child out there was, of course, at one point, the beneficiary of, I hope, good prenatal care.
Well, then why do women have to pay for prostate stuff?
Or Viagra.
Yeah.
Pay through the nose for Viagra.
Well, not through the nose. I think you're taking it wrong.
Never mind.
That's an interesting shade of red you're turning, Eric, by the way.
There's so many of these that we have to go through them rather quickly. I hope it's all right. I know you.
Absolutely.
I know you prefer leisurely conversation.
You're fine. You're fine. What's the next one?
Rep. Roger Marshall. He's a Republican from Kansas. He's a member of the GOP Doctors Caucus. And he says, there's a group of people that just don't want health care and aren't going to take care of themselves. He added that morally, spiritually, socially, the poor, including the homeless, just don't want health care.
Well, everyone wants health care. It's a matter of whether or not you can afford health care.
Exactly. This is why this is completely tone deaf.
If you have something horrible happen to you, who would want to go into a hospital knowing you have no funds?
Exactly. And the thing about quotes like this, sentiment out there like this, is that there's so much happening. There's so many things that I have here on my list that I was preparing that there's no time to pause and be outraged about this, to realize that the idea. Everybody wants to be able to see a doctor when they're sick, to get the operation that they need when they need it, to have good care at the end of life. Everybody wants it. It's like saying, you know, hungry people, they don't really want to eat.
Right.
I mean, it is so absurd, but it gets to the heart of this healthcare debate, which is healthcare something that we can should consider a luxury or a privilege to have healthcare? You know, it's my view that it is not. That it's something that
everybody should be entitled to
a basic level of health care.
You would think.
The same way that we educate children, that it is part of our shared responsibility as a society to provide a basic level of access to people to doctors and to medicine. And the idea that there are people out there who don't want it, this is, of course, how they're going to frame the inevitable loss of care. People are going to lose their health insurance policies, and they're going to be framing this, and saw it in yesterday's Sunday chat shows, as a choice. Like, you've chosen not to have insurance. The only reason that you would choose not to have insurance is because you can't afford it.
Right.
You don't have the money because it is expensive. Even if you're a healthy male in his 20s, which is about as good as it gets for insurance, you know, you look at the curves.
Yeah.
And you know, when you were in your 20s, how many times, I assume you're fairly healthy in your 20s, I probably went to the doctor
once every
maybe,
5 years,
maybe
10
every
years.
Couple of years or something like that, because I felt like I had to.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like you're at an age where you feel kind of invincible, and you kind of are, unless you do something stupid, you're fine. You know?
Well,
I mean, it's a really good. So you know, people like that, they think they don't need it maybe, but they all want to be able to see a doctor go to the hospital when something goes wrong and not be bankrupted by it.
With this quote about not everybody wants health care, did anyone call him out on this?
I don't know. He was on. When did he say this? It was in a political article.
Because I don't know how you make a decent article argument supporting that statement that not everybody wants health care.
Well, because you say it's not a priority for them, which, you know, you might say not everybody wants an HD TV, which would be true. Not everybody wants a smartphone. That would be true. But you're putting it into this basket of privileges, of things that you would just
of
have.
Extras.
Extras, an option. Like, yeah, you know, I'd like to have that, but I don't really need it.
I can live without it.
Yes, but the truth is there are people who don't want to pay for luxurious health care plans. But this gets into, you know, the idea that we have to care for each other when this kind of stuff happens. Yeah. There are more.
Give us more.
There are more. President Trump's budget director, Mick Mulvaney, told CNN's Jake Tapper on Sunday that the Obama administration had been manipulating the jobs numbers to make unemployment look smaller than it actually was.
We've heard that before, and that's
we've heard it before, but the problem is that now, and this actually dovetails into what Ways and Means Committee Chairman Kevin Brady said, the Republican chairman, a year ago. The U.S. Department of Labor issued its monthly report showing the economy added 242,000 jobs in February, and he issued a statement saying, well, it's disappointing to see how little growth there is in the economy. Well, on Friday, with Trump now president, the Department of Labor issued its monthly report showing the economy added 235,000 jobs, basically the same number. I mean, this is an estimate, so same amount. And he issued a statement saying, this is a great report. The hundreds of thousands of people have found new jobs. It's a good sign. Our economy is moving in the right direction. Same numbers. Just a completely partisan response to that. Same thing with Mulvaney and his response to the numbers. Sean Spicer then was asked about this, and he said, "Well, come on, you know what?" He said Trump spent his whole campaign saying these numbers are phony, and now what? And he says, "Well, they may have been phony in the past, but they're very real now."
And then they laughed. As if to say,
"We're all in on the joke."
Yeah,
we're all in on the joke that this is all about just partisan spin.
Yeah.
So it's just this constant hypocrisy that's so. And I'm not saying that Republicans are the only ones guilty of it, but they're particularly guilty of it right now. This idea that, and it was a pretty good jobs report. It wasn't great.
It was way better than expected.
It was better than expected by by 20-30%, something like that.
Yeah.
But again, this is all expectations. We've seen something like 77 straight months of job growth in this country since the depths of the recession that happened.
So it was heading in this direction, but is anybody truly believing that just the mere fact that Donald Trump has been in office for a month created all those jobs?
Well, he believes it. And you know, the thing is that you have to say when it comes to presidencies and jobs numbers and so on, you know, they don't have their hands on all the knobs necessarily, but you have to give Trump credit for not.
Bill Clinton had his hands on all the knobs, Eric. I take exception to that.
Back to that conversation.
Snap.
Wow. He can't let that go. But you know, I mean, the truth is it was a good jobs report.
Right.
It reflects that Trump has not crashed the economy. And I've got to say that I have to admit that on the night of the election, when news was coming out that Trump was going to be elected, the stock market started to dive. And I was getting phone calls and texts and emails from friends going, what's going on here? This is like our retirement and everything like that. And so we were all panicked. The stock market not only recovered, it's higher than it's ever
been.
Beat
a record.
And Trump, you know, if Trump had been a disaster for the economy already, the way people were worried that he was, then you would not have seen all this job growth. So, you know, he can take some credit for it, as Obama took credit for this rather steady increase in the number of jobs.
The protest sign industry has never been better than it is right now.
it's really creating
more jobs.
Count all of them. It is creating more jobs. All right,
I have a few more.
We would love to hear more.
Can I do it right now?
No, wait, Eric. Be patient. Please be patient.
Wait, there's more.
Eric Zorn is here. He's got some crazy political quotes. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune is here sharing with us some peculiar political quotes that have all been said within the last couple of weeks, huh?
Stuff Republicans Say is how I'm billing this segment.
Mm.
We could have it be like a daily thing if you want.
I bet some Democrats have said some outrageous things too. To be fair,
maybe at some point. No, you're right. But and you know, normally these things kind of go fly by me. But I was kind of thinking yesterday, what would we talk about with Bill and Wendy? And I said, God, there've been so many. I thought, well, maybe with this quote, maybe this. And I said, why don't I put them all together into one thing, and we'll talk really fast and get them all done. But a couple more that came to mind. Paul Ryan was on Face the Nation yesterday with John Dickerson, and he was asked. How many people are going to lose coverage under the new, you know, people who have coverage now are going to lose it? And his answer was, I can't answer that question. It's up to people.
Oh.
And what they're doing, what he's doing is he's framing this again as a choice that people are going to make. Like, well, we're going to take away all the Obamacare supports or most of the Obamacare supports. And we're going to offer you this hodgepodge that we hope of policies that are more suitable to your needs. And then it's going to be up to you whether you buy them or not. Which is a question of, like, you know, it's up to you whether whether you're rich enough to buy these policies. Again, it frames this issue as like, well, this is just something you might want to buy. Like, do you want the HD TV? Do you want the 60-inch or the 40? Yeah. It's up to you. It's up to you what size.
It's up to people.
It's up to people.
Can I ask a question, though? Am I wrong in saying that President Donald Trump told us that he was going to get better health care coverage for all of us for way less money?
There's some wonderful videos online about that where they compile all the quotes that Trump said during the campaign. I'm going to have insurance for everybody. Everybody's going to be covered. They're going to pay less.
Way less. It's going to be a better thing. Choices.
More choices. You know, he promised people the world. And he's essentially, you know, snake oil salesman is basically what it was.
So he's not delivering on
that. Well, this particular plan does not deliver on that. This particular plan is going to throw millions of people off the coverage that they now have. It's going to boost premiums on people, especially older people, which is interesting because so many older working class people voted for him because they really wanted, you know, they were chafing at things that were going on. But there have been studies about the people who are especially in their late 50s, early 60s, you know, just pre-Medicare, whose premiums are going to go way up and the subsidies they get are going to go way down. It's going to cost them, you know, in some ways half of their salary just to get coverage. And so, I mean, my answer, I've come around to this belief that we really ought to expand the Medicare program, just have everybody covered by basic Medicare. The taxes would go way up to pay for it, but the amount of money that we would save as workers, as people who have been paying into the private insurance company all these years, the amount of money we'd save, I think, would dwarf the tax increases. But
so when something like that is said, when President Trump, pre-President Trump at that point, gets up there and says, everyone's going to have health care and it's going to cost you less, that's impossible. How did anyone think that was possible? Because somebody has to pay for that.
Well,
and that somebody is the people.
The only
that Paul
way
Ryan
it's possible, Bill. The only way it's really possible is that if you did have like a Medicare for all system, it would cost less, especially if they were to take.
It would cost less at the time, but then taxes.
Taxes would definitely go up, but in terms of what it costs you out of your pocket, how much money you are paying. Now, in your benefits, if you look at your paycheck, how much money is coming out of that for your health care?
Yeah.
For most people, you would come out net. You come out ahead. No, because it's much more efficient. Essentially, what insurance companies do is they hold this money, and they pass it on. There's a complete middleman.
Yeah.
They're not providing any service. One of them was talking about what kind of care to insurance companies providing. Insurance companies don't provide any service. They are a pass-through, and they pay their CEOs, and they pay for their marketing. You know, lots and lots and lots of money that's coming out of patients' pockets. If you get rid of that, or you make it so that insurance is just for elective kind of surgeries or for, you know, for sort of premium kind of care situations, you would save a lot of money. And that's why just about every country in the first world has a system like that, you know, single payer, Medicare for all, whatever you want to call it. People like to, you know, say socialized medicine, but that would be, you know, the way that you would fulfill Donald Trump's promise. I did a column on this a couple months ago saying Donald Trump is like laying the groundwork for single payer, for, you know, care for all. He's saying everyone gets
on
covered,
purpose?
It's lower. No, I don't
not
think on purpose.
Purpose
at all. In fact, he'll say like this, and he'll say, well, I'm not talking about single payer, but that's the only way that you can do this. The only way that you can save people money and expand care is to turn it into a Medicare for all program. So, you know, that would be nice. Do we have time for any more here?
Yeah, give us one more.
Okay, well, this is Okay, which one should I choose here? Well, let's look at Rep. Steve King. Steve King from Iowa. He made comments over the weekend in which he talked about, he said, we can't restore our civilization with somebody else's babies. He was asked by CNN's Chris Cuomo. And he says, he was asked to clarify this. He says, you can't rebuild your civilization with somebody else's babies. You've got to keep your birth rate up. And I think he's talking about white people here. You need to teach your children your values. He's talking about if you go down the road a few generations with intermarriage, I'd like to see an America that is just so homogeneous that we look a lot the same. And this is, let's just parroting some of the right-wing nationalist rhetoric from Europe right now, which is this idea that that immigrant populations, and you know, that it's us and the other. When you're talking about other people's babies, you're talking about, you know, Chinese American babies. You're talking about Hispanic, you know, Mexican Americans. You're talking about I read a little bit as African American too. I mean, I'm reading this as a real very insensitive, dubious kind of statement that he said, and he wouldn't back down on it. He just basically says that you know, Western civilization is this is basically white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. Certainly is the implication of that quote, and he didn't really try to clarify that when he backed down on it. So it was another example of stuff that Republicans say. So.
What's his goal in this? I'm curious as to what he's hoping to accomplish.
Well, he's got a very, very heavily white district in Iowa, and he's a very conservative Republican lawmaker. And I'm sure his base eats this up. There are a lot of people who think that the problem with our country is that we are too much of a melting pot. But I do think that, you know, obviously in terms of, you know, the historical examples is that one of the things that makes us so strong and such a great place is that we have brought people in from all over the world, and they've made incredible contributions to what we have. And so the idea that we can't make our country better with other people's babies is offensive and wrong.
If people want to hear, and I hope they do, if people want to hear the rest of the list of political quotes, they want to go to?
Well, they can go to chicagotribune.com/Zorn. I'll probably be writing these up because I know—
You need to.
I would have to put them all together. Is that the Steve Bertrand?
That is a Steve Bertrand.
It's a Steve Bertrand.
One of many that we keep here on staff. Yes. Steve will be by. Thank you, Eric. Eric Zorn of the Tribune. Steve will be by to tell you what he has on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Next, Bill and Wendy, WGN.